Following the rules can sometimes feel like it's holding innovation back, and accountability doesn't have to feel like blame. It can be the pathway to real growth. I'm Eric Himes, and this week on The Inspired Culture, I'll be joined by Chris Nudo as we unpack the myths of core values, the loneliness of leading in a crisis, and how leaders can inspire change without burning out. Welcome to The Inspired Culture. I'm your host, Eric Himes. This show is about helping leaders build workplaces that inspire trust, integrity, and lasting impact. Today, I'm joined by a remarkable guest, Christopher Nudo. Chris is a faith-driven attorney with more than 30 years of experience guiding leaders and organizations in wills, trusts, business succession, real estate, and nonprofit law. What makes Chris unique is how he blends deep legal expertise with Christian values, helping leaders honor their faith while navigating the practical challenges of business and life. In this first segment, we're tackling a challenge many leaders wrestle with when following the rules feels like it's slowing down innovation. Chris, I'm so glad that you're here and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Eric. Pleasure.
It's so good to be here. And so one of the questions that we have for you, Chris, is why do you think so many business leaders see rules, regulations, and legal frameworks as obstacles rather than guides?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think many business leaders don't like to follow rules. I mean, I'm guilty. Rules seem like hindrances in getting in the way of things. When honestly, what we learn is that rules are there for a reason. They're there to provide the adequate guide rails, if you will, so that we can stay on a path of integrity, accountability. We can treat each other properly with respect, not burdening one another with the problems we bring to work and things like that. So, but the reason that leaders don't follow these, follow the rules or regulations, or is simply because we don't like being told what to do. If we break it down into, you know, the conversation of faith that you and I have, it's really sin holds us back, and our basic sinful nature says that we know better than what somebody's telling us what to do. So by our very nature, we don't like rules.
Yeah, and that goes into self, right?
Like 100%. What we want. That's right.
What I want. You know, and it doesn't matter. This is what I want. It may not be right for you, but this is what I want.
This is what I want.
Yeah, I appreciate you sharing that. And so how can leaders find a balance between taking bold steps forward and staying aligned with ethical and legal requirements?
So if the first step is to understand what the rules and guidelines are and embracing them, right? Understanding why they're there. And once one understands the framework in which they're working in, then they can see where it's permissible to step out of that framework without giving up integrity, without breaking the rule. You know, somebody once said to me that the term exception to the rule has a place in life, but one cannot live life with the exception. The exception's just an occasional variance from the rules that are put in place to hold us in line.
Sure, hold us accountable.
That's right.
So, for a leader who has, you know, always been the exception, right? What and why would I ever, you know, as this leader, want to find the rules and understand the rules if I've been living this way, you know, for much of the leadership journey that I've been on?
Yeah. Well, the first thing I would say is when you look at that leader, you're going to see a path of destruction most likely that that leader leaves behind in everything they do. What we've learned over the years is that the leaders who lead by themselves or lead their way, who don't lead within the guidelines but lead within the exceptions all the time, really, while they might be leading, they're leading through some form of brute force. They could be angry. They could be they deprive people of their self-worth. Narcissistic, that's the word I'm looking for. And, you know, they could be, you know, so while they look like effective leaders because they may be moving an organization forward, they've built a very unhealthy culture. I honestly can't give you one example of a leader who has done it all by the exception to the rule and is a good leader.
Sure. And so, like, for that narcissistic leader that's out there, you know, based on definition, it's hard for them to be able to look at themselves in the mirror.
Yeah, they can't.
And grow and change in general. So, but for the organization they're leading or the people they're leading, it's critical to understand the boundaries and the rules of the game, you know, so call it, of business to participate in. And so how would you get somebody like that to be curious enough to have to figure things out, recognizing that they don't even probably recognize seeing the disasters that they left behind themselves?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So first of all, I do believe that narcissists can change. I do believe that they will not change without God.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that the Lord is probably the only mechanism in which to wake up a true narcissist from the fact that they blame shift, they, in angriness, pound on people unnecessarily to get their way, because their way is the only way. And the narcissist is constantly blaming others for their own problems. And that there's just a lot of layers there.
Sure.
And so the only way to first wake them up, I believe, is Christ has got to do it. Now, I know because of my faith that that's enough, but I also know that the sinful nature of man doesn't necessarily change like that. So it's once they are awakened to the problem, now I believe it's baby steps, right? It's no different than our journey of faith where we, you know, first we embrace Christ, but then we change to become more like him. The narcissist has to do the same thing, and we help them as we can identify those areas of failure.
Yeah. So then in the rules, so call it, in those rules that, you know, we need them to see, they have to have a God moment, so call it, first to take down the walls, to be open to seeing a different perspective, right? Because then it's not theirs.
Correct.
It's somebody else's.
That's right.
God's perspective for them. So understanding that, what are some ways to lead a narcissist to that? Like, do you, you know, is there any recommendations for the viewers, you know, out there? And how do you plant the seed of, hey, there's somebody else here that needs to know you, but they already do. It's actually you need to know them, because there isn't this relationship of existence. Or maybe they act as though it's been there the whole time, but it's just a covert mask that they're wearing, you know, to cover up what's really going on underneath.
Yeah. That's a very difficult question. The reality is that the person who is going to try and lead the narcissist to change, first of all, has to be aware and has to have the confidence and faith in themselves, in themselves, in Christ, and has to not be afraid, because the narcissist is always going to turn the table on the person that's trying to help them. And so you need to first not fear the fact that the person's going to get angry at you. And next, you got to be aware of the fact that they're going to blame shift. And then you have to not be afraid of the consequences that are going to come next. And so I would argue it's very difficult for an employee or somebody subservient to a narcissist to be able to change them, because that person's going to be afraid of their job, and or they're going to be afraid of whatever the consequence is of not going along with the program. But somebody from the outside who has the armor, if you will, to be able to, I think that is the type of person it takes to make a change. And of course, as you know, Eric, the person has to be wanting the change. You're not going to change somebody who has no desire to change or who doesn't feel change is necessary.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and when you talk about the rules, right, for that type of personality, that's hard, right, for them to follow. And, you know, so therefore the questions around that, because when, you know, that type of individual, when you put them into that environment and helping them know that, no, the rules are actually a good thing.
Yes.
The rules are actually here to protect you. They're here to support your success. They're here to making sure that we do the right thing.
That's right. And the crazy thing is that sometimes they follow the rules. This is where it's very difficult. So you will get a narcissistic person who is actually a rule follower. Yeah, right. And but they still have the blame shifting, and they still have the angry tendencies within them. And so now you're in a real difficult game. And now it's just a matter of hoping that Christ wakes them and change is possible.
Yeah. Oh, thanks for sharing that, Chris. We're going to hop to a quick break here, and then we'll jump into our next topic together. You know, coming up after the break, we'll dive into another area leaders struggle with, making core values real so they don't just sit on a wall, but actually guide culture.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to The Inspired Culture. Don't miss a second of the show or any of your Now Media TV favorites streaming live and on demand whenever and wherever you want. Grab the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our lineup of bilingual programs in both English and Spanish. Prefer podcasts? Listen to The Inspired Culture anytime on the Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv. Covering business, breaking news, lifestyle, and culture, more Now Media TV is available 24/7. So the stories you care about are always within reach.
We're back with more on The Inspired Culture.
Welcome back to The Inspired Culture. Want more of what you're watching? Stay connected to The Inspired Culture and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand, anytime you like. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and unlock nonstop bilingual programming in English and Spanish. On the move, you can also catch the podcast version right from our website at www.nowmedia.tv. From business and news to lifestyle, culture, and beyond, Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. We're here with Chris Nudo, a faith-driven attorney and a culture advisor. And in this segment, we're taking on tough reality. Many companies talk about values, but they don't live them out. The words sound great, but they don't always shape daily decisions. So our conversational topic today is core values can be more than slogans. They can guide decisions, build trust, and strengthen culture when leaders model them authentically. Chris, it's good to have you back in this segment here.
Thank you, Eric.
And you know, one of the questions that we have is, why do you think so many companies have strong values written down but don't actually live them out in their daily work?
Yeah. So because they don't believe them, right? So One of the slogans that I came up with many years ago was leading with integrity.
Yes.
Simple. Leading with integrity. And I had it printed on my business cards, on my website, on my my license plate says integrity. I don't always lead with integrity, right? But it was something I created. It was something that I want to stand for. It's something I want to live for. And so I pray and ask the Lord for as much strength as possible in which to always make every decision leading with integrity. Now, take that to the business. Take mm-hmm. that to the corporation. And I'm the founder of that concept, and even I don't do it with perfection. So you take your business, and they in a boardroom cooked up a slogan, a saying, something, and you know they all bought into it in that boardroom. But now, you know, generations of employees later, if the company hasn't modeled that sure. from the top down, it's not going to be there. And I got to tell you, there's been enough times in my life where people have said, Chris, that's not integrity.
Mm.
That's not and I have to sit back and I have to say, huh, they're right. And Chris, you know better. You define the standard and you're not living by it. And So I can imagine, and I know that in companies, this is without proper top-down leadership living what that they've put forth, it's not going to happen.
Sure. Well, and you think about it, generational leadership, right? So the core values of the organization that began was by one person most of the time.
Yes.
Or a group,
right?
A small group saying, these are our core values for our company that we're going to live by. Well, they all were bought in and believed it, so they lived it out every day. For the most part, right? Because we're not perfect people, so
right.
we're going to fall short, but we're going to do our very best to live it out.
Right.
In it. Then the next lane of leaders come in. Now all of a sudden they're living out core values and principles of the organization that they didn't come up with, but they've been in the organization trying to model it, but they weren't as close to the leaders that were modeling it.
Correct.
So there's a disconnect there. And so I could see how it could deteriorate over time. And how the mission statement becomes artwork on the wall, and it's no longer something that people live by. So how would you get organizations to connect that through the company?
I think you have to start with looking at those core values and finding out if they're timeless or not, right? So a core value that was established in 1950 may not be applicable in 2025. One has to look at the core values and see, is it the type of core value that stands the test of time? If it does not, I would recommend not changing the essence of the core value, but modernizing the core value to bring it current. Because you're not going to get teenagers to want to sit and listen to the oldie station, right? The oldie station is for the oldies.
Mm-hmm.
The core message must be able to be timeless. Now, let's assume that it is timeless, because I like to think that leading with integrity is timeless.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's helping the organization define the terms,
sure.
right? What is a leadership? Who is a leader? What is leadership? What does integrity look like? We all know integrity by the definition of doing the right thing even when nobody's looking, but living that kind of life, if nobody's ever challenged you or if integrity is not something that you value, then you're not going to do it.
Right.
So then it's getting to know the person, their purpose, and what they stand for, and helping them learn how integrity is essential for everybody to do the right thing, especially in the area of law, where we're helping others. helping others the right way is essential for us doing things correctly.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, integrity and law is everything.
It is.
And unfortunately, my own personal experience is it's not always there.
It's the old adage, it only takes one bad apple to ruin the bushel.
Yeah, and that's really, really true. It's a great honor to have you here. Mm. Choosing to want to lean into that integrity.
Absolutely.
Because that's really, really important, and I think all of your clients get to experience that, and for me, I know looking for, an attorney, integrity is everything. It's not about winning or losing. It's being honest.
Correct.
And that's the biggest thing.
It's doing the right thing.
It is.
My license plate is integrity. And people always ask, how did you come up with that? And it was exactly what you just said, Eric. I was sitting at my desk and I said, how do I fit do the right thing on my license plate? And I'm like, too many letters. I only need 7. So I was able to build the word integrity but that's it. Do the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And where it falls, it falls. But everybody's accountable then.
That's right.
Right? And nothing was done behind the scenes or anywhere else or however it should have, for the outcome to be where it should stand.
Wasn't manufactured with improper ethics.
Yes. I love that. Now, way to go, Chris, and what a great organization you have in helping other companies live out their statements, of what's important, their core values and who they are, and helping lead people through that. Obviously, you're doing that in your organization every day. Chris, for those that are tuning in today, how can they find you?
So the best place is just go to our website, Integrity Law. And integrity, we drop the I. So it's NTEGRITY law.com. And from there, you can reach us on our social platforms. You can text us, chat with us, call us, whatever. But starting at our website's the best place to find us.
Awesome. Well, everybody, you've heard it from Chris here himself. Integrity Law, it's the place to be, where he's going to do the right thing. And his organization's going to do the right thing for you. Chris, we'll be right back. We're going to head to a break. And we come back, we'll go through the next segment together.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Inspired Culture. Don't miss a second of the show or any of your Now Media TV favorites streaming live and on demand whenever and wherever you want. Grab the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our lineup of bilingual programs in both English and Spanish. Prefer podcasts? Listen to the Inspired Culture anytime on the Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv. Covering business, breaking news, lifestyle, and culture, more Now Media TV is available 24/7. So the stories you care about are always within reach.
We're back with more on the Inspired Culture.
All right. Welcome back to the Inspired Culture. I'm here with Chris Nudo, and we're moving into one of the most misunderstood topics in leadership: accountability. Too often, it feels like blame and punishment instead of a tool for learning and growth. The topic that we're going to cover today is accountability doesn't have to be toxic. When reframed, it becomes a driver of trust, excellence, and culture health. Chris, welcome back. It's good to have you here talking about this topic. I love accountability. I think it's so important to have.
Yes.
It makes everybody better.
That's right.
And it helps everybody grow. So tell us a little bit about it from your perspective.
Well, okay. So accountability for sure starts with myself.
Mm.
You can't hold other people accountable if, number one, you're not accountable yourself. The top leader has to be walking the walk and talking the talk. And then even more than that, how do you know if you're walking the walk and talking the talk? You have to allow the other people in the organization to call you out if you're not doing it.
Yeah.
And so it really starts at the top. And then once they see that you are doing it, and doing it appropriately, and they have the freedom to call you out when you fail, Now you've now set the precedent for how they should lead. And you almost don't even have to hold others accountable if they're holding you accountable, because in that creates the accountability where everybody is working together.
Yeah. You know, the depth of accountability reminds me of the same as the depth of vulnerability.
Yes. So for sure.
And so, like, you can have these two parallel lines running. They're going to be only as tall as the other. Really, you can drive accountability through the roof, but you'll never get it if there's no vulnerability.
That's right.
And so, you know, you making this space at work for people to call you out and all of this, tell me about the vulnerable environment that you've created through that model.
So it starts with my defects, right? And so some of my defects are an addictive personality. And an addictive personality pretty much does everything to excess. Mm. And it doesn't matter what it is. Whatever it is, there's nothing. The saying everything in moderation doesn't apply to a guy like me. So you can imagine, now take that and apply it to the good things in life, whether it be my workout regimen, mm-hmm. or trying to eat healthy, things like that. Also take it to the negative. Take it to, you know, being highly demanding, have high expectations of people, having little patience. And so first understanding myself and the flaws that I have, and then sharing them, letting people know, hey, listen, you know, I do sometimes have a short fuse when you don't give me what I'm looking for. And you know what? That's my problem. That's not your problem. And if I make that your problem, please have the freedom to say, Chris, you're upset because of that's who you are, not because I did something wrong. And so to your point, that vulnerability has to be incredibly transparent.
Mm, yeah.
And you have to be, you have to give the freedom to everybody in the organization to recognize that if I come down hard on them, most of the time, upon reflection, it had something to do with me and not themselves, mm-hmm. right? And so I love the way you drew the parallel between accountability and vulnerability, and understanding oneself really helps build both of those. But being transparent, you know, the leader that sits behind the wall of perfection, yep. Is never going to be able to apply these principles.
Absolutely. Well, it's a mask.
It is.
Too. It's a mask of perfection, you know, and I love that you say that. You know, and so with culture, you know, and what you have in your organization, you know, for your people to experience that, because it's not a popular thing amongst leaders today to be vulnerable.
Right.
You know, the world's told us we have to appear, we have to be seen as living perfectly, which there's no such thing.
No.
You know, the imperfect is truly the perfect, right? And making ourselves available to be seen in that. So I would love to know, and I think everybody would, you've chosen this path of vulnerability and accountability, creating that space for your people to speak into the gaps that they see. And you shared it's projection, right? Of you projecting sometimes, if it does that, they can call you out on it.
Right.
In that, how are they doing with that environment? Like, tell me about it, because it has to be a pretty amazing office to be in.
You know, everybody's different, right? I'd love to say that it's an amazing office to be in, and I think people would say it is. However, with that said, every personality accepts and adapts this differently.
Mm-hmm.
And so all I can do is lead in the best way I can, and it's accepted differently by others. I would say that it is very welcome to all the women in my organization, and I don't know if that is I don't know if that's because they're women and they see a vulnerable man, somebody who's also willing to allow them to call, you know, hold me accountable. With the men in my office, it's just creates what a sense of brotherhood. And it allows them to, I don't like the corporate hierarchy. I always believe, and my dad actually taught me, that nobody works for you, Chris. Yeah. Everybody works with you.
That's right.
And so I have to make sure that I'm constantly thinking to myself, these people are my equals. And so building a culture of equals where everybody is moving the rock together is really how we've built that culture. And I will tell you, it spills then into our clientele, because I then empower everybody within the organization, from the people who answer the phone all the way up to my second in command, that they are all equal in power, so my clients can feel free to interact with them like they would interact with me.
Yeah, that is so good. And one of the things that comes up with this, how they adapt and the people that come in to your organization. So one of the things that comes up for me as you're sharing this is like, okay, how do I get to become part of your culture? And how am I selected? Because you've created something that breeds something. And what I believe breeds something long-term that's lasting and not short-term. And so there's only certain folks that will thrive in that space because they're ready.
Right.
Because they're ready to, one, receive it, because they're in a space to also give it. So how do you recruit?
So you're going to find my answer very, hopefully, refreshing but unique. We allow the Lord to recruit for us.
That's awesome.
I mean, I have never, in all the people that we've hired, I've never gone out and hired somebody based on looking for somebody. And they've all come to us. Now, that doesn't mean I haven't run ads time to time trying the traditional methods of hiring. But every time I've tried the traditional methods of hiring, it fails. But all the people that work for me now have come to me and say, I want to work for the organization in some form or fashion, and they've found out about us one way or another. So I believe that's God's call, that's God's way of calling them to us. And so people always ask, how do you find such awesome people to work for you? And I'm like, yeah, it starts with the Lord.
Yeah.
And
it does.
And people always look at me and they're like, I don't know how to place an ad with the Lord. I'm like, yeah. That's a different way of looking at it.
That's right. You know, I just want to validate you because it works.
It does.
Right? It works. You know, when I started my company, I started praying, God, send me the people. So I don't know who you're going to send or even who I need.
Right. But, or how many.
Or what. But just send them, and they've come. They have come. I have not had to go seek anyone out.
Isn't that amazing?
It is.
It is.
And so great on that. You know, I feel validated in this at the same point.
Right.
Because I'm like, would anybody believe this if I actually said this out loud, you know?
Well, and I've said it out loud many times because I get asked constantly by other lawyers who are looking for other paralegals. And I'm like, yeah, have you tried praying?
Yeah. I mean, that's the lifeline.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the thing. We'll be right back, Chris. We're going to head to a break, and we'll come back here in a few moments.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to The Inspired Culture. Don't miss a second of the show or any of your Now Media TV favorites streaming live and on demand whenever and wherever you want. Grab the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and enjoy instant access to our lineup of bilingual programs in both English and Spanish. Prefer podcasts? Listen to The Inspired Culture anytime on the Now Media TV website at www.nowmedia.tv. Covering business, breaking news, lifestyle, and culture, more Now Media TV is available 24/7. So the stories you care about are always within reach.
We're back with more on The Inspired Culture.
In our final segment with Chris Nudo, we're talking about one of the hardest realities of leadership, leading through crisis. It often feels isolating, overwhelming, and like you're carrying the burden alone, but it doesn't have to be that way. So the topic for our group today is crisis leadership is about humility, support, and preparation. No leader has to walk through it alone if they build the right support system. Chris, welcome back to this final segment together. I'm really excited about it. And one of the questions that we have for you is, why do leaders often feel like they have to carry the weight of crisis alone, even when help is available?
Yeah, what a great question. So I think the first reason is because they don't want to bring the crisis upon the people that work for them. And so they want to carry the burden themselves. And the problem with that is has so many facets. When entering a crisis, first of all, what is the crisis? Is it a financial crisis? Is it a faith crisis? Is it a business crisis? Is it an integrity crisis? Like, you know, defining the crisis really, you know, defines how the leader should deal with it. However, we have this crazy saying in life that misery loves company. Mm. We don't want to take the crisis and have people sit in it and brew in it. But what we do need to do is have the humility to step back and understand why the crisis occurred. Is it a financial crisis because the leader couldn't control spending? Is it a financial crisis because there was internal embezzlement? Is it a crisis of business because the business wasn't managed or marketed properly? And as a leader, one has to take a step back and, number one, accept responsibility and own it and say, you know what, at the end of the day, my name is the one on the door. My name is the head of the organization. And when it comes to leadership and top-down leadership, I'm at the top. So the buck stops here. And one doesn't blame shift. Like, the thing that would drive me bananas would be, you know, the top-down guy that looks at his frontline workers and blames them for the reason that the company needs to file bankruptcy. And so I believe that managing a crisis starts with managing the leader.
Sure. So crisis comes into the organization, right? And, you know, and it's a tragic one, right? So this is one that, if we don't make the right decisions, the business is going to close.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, this reality is coming in, you know, the senior leaders there, the CEO or the president of the business, and we have to make some strategic decisions. We have a limited time to decide, and it means everything to make the right choice. Right. And so I can imagine the emotional weight that this one would carry with someone, first of all. Talk about getting no sleep through that. And all of a sudden having to go the next day and look at their leadership team and decide, am I going to communicate something or am I going to hold it in business as usual, right? Because do I want this crisis to go through the organization or do I want to keep it and protect the organization? I've just laid out this scenario for you. What do you see as the appropriate actions to take in handling this situation? You know, you're in the room with your team. What do you do?
Lots of prayer. Lots of prayer. Lots of prayer before you get in the room, and asking for lots of prayer from all the people you know that will pray. And then you step into the room and you know what to do, because the Holy Spirit's going to lead you. I've been in that environment, I can't tell you how many times, where I've walked into a courtroom or I've walked into an adverse situation. And before I walked in, I said, Lord, I don't know if I'm going to have the words. I don't know what is going to be the right path.
Mm-hmm.
I know what the paths are. I know what the arguments are. I know what I believe. I know what the consequences are, depending on which way this goes. But Lord, I need you to lead it. I need you to have the words. And I believe in every situation. And while some people would argue I'm not answering your question, Eric, I believe I'm giving you the perfect answer, which is that the Lord inspires the reaction. Mm. Because honestly, how can I say whether holding back is the right and not letting it flow through the organization, or whether flowing through the organization is the answer to the equation? Only those specific circumstances and only through the guidance of the Holy Spirit will one be able to know. And let's just pretend for a moment the wrong decision's made.
Mm-hmm.
I never look at things as the wrong decision. I look at it as the path you weren't prepared to go down.
Sure.
And so it's wrong only because you wanted to go left and you're heading right now. And so embrace the fact that now we're going right, and let's evaluate the consequences of that, and let's start making decisions based on that direction.
Yeah, great deal of discernment, right? That goes into it.
Yes.
And then, you know, the wrong decision's made, but now we got to see that decision through because we've committed, or we have to pivot.
Is it a wrong decision, though? Like, it was not the decision that created the outcome you were expecting.
Sure.
I don't mean to play the advocate with you on that, but, you know, I try not to look at things in a sense of failure,
mm-hmm.
but rather a realignment of direction.
Yeah, and I guess the realignment, you know, when as I use the word wrong, it's maybe not the decision we wanted.
Correct.
Right in it. And so, therefore, black and white, right and wrong. But the reality is, it's like, okay, this is what we have to work with now.
That's right.
Right? And regardless if we wanted to or not, we have to put the best plan forward.
This is our new reality.
To get the best outcome we possibly can get.
That's right.
Based on the circumstances in front of us.
Yep.
No, totally agree with you on that. So as you know, we're carrying this as leaders. How would you coach leaders through carrying this crisis? You know, we talked about the prayer, right? And leaning on the Lord. And trusting in him, you know, as a leader that maybe hasn't done that before, right? Because I'm sure there's a ton of them out there. How would you encourage them to do that?
Wow. So the first thing you have to do is come to the conclusion that you believe in God. You know, and we've had many conversations about various leaders who have various interpretations of God. And so while I have a very clear picture of the God of the Bible, not everybody shares that same level of vision. And so, number one, start with your conviction of the Lord, and then ask yourself if you've truly leaned on them. And then I think at that point, the answer to how to proceed from there will be clear if you genuinely do that. The next thing is, once they've done that, I think it's really important that a good leader leans on their leaders to understand themselves as people. Because at the end of the day, you could have a 30 or early 40-something that has teenage children who is going to have many. Their life's complications don't just include the challenges at work. They deal with teenager challenges. They deal with work challenges. They may deal with marital challenges. Same difference comes with the empty nester or the young person who may be a single. You know, being single is not all it's cracked up to be. And so they have their own challenges of figuring out their own value, their own self-identity. And so once the person is encouraged to lean on the Lord, then it's really helping the person understand themselves and their value in the organization, and then helping bring it all together in a community of leadership within the organization.
Wow, Chris, that's a great, great share, great wisdom there to share with the audience on, you know, how that looks and building that relationship and what that process entails. Thank you for sharing that. Chris, we're out of time. You know, gosh, this hour went by so fast. I've really enjoyed our time together. It's been a pleasure having you on our show today. And a question for the audience that we have is, you know, asking you yourself, where are you at in your faith walk? And why are we there? And what do we need to do to move closer to God? Thank you for participating, Chris, on The Inspired Culture. And before we go, how can people find you?
The best way is our website, because at our website, it drives you to our socials. It drives us to it drives you to everything you need to get a hold of us. And that's integrity.law, N-T-E-G-R-I-T-Y, law.com.
Awesome. Chris, again, it's been a pleasure. And thank you.
Thank you, Eric.